And welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. TJ, and with me, as always, is Aaron. How's everything going over there, Aaron?
Great.
We have a very exciting show today. We've been asked to do a show on this topic for quite a while. And
we've prepared like 3 or 4, probably. We've got so much information.
3 or 4 months worth of information. I'm not kidding you. We've gone into the trenches maybe a little bit. We might have definitely got off into the ditch on some of this stuff. We've got a ton of information for you. We are going to be talking about fertility and infertility and how the things that can be done to help improve your chances of getting pregnant if you're trying to get pregnant, things that you can do while you are pregnant to improve the pregnancy. It's a big topic, a lot of stuff.
Right. Well, and we're really just talking about, you know, mostly getting to the point where you are pregnant and maybe right at the beginning. Because we did try to pare this down a little bit so that...
Tried. Keyword in that sentence was tried.
Well, there's just so much information and so much misinformation out there. So...
Is misinformation the same as no information?
Well, no.
Because I think there's a lot of people that just have no clue.
Right.
There's a lot of just, I don't know what to tell you to do. I don't know the answer to your question.
Answers are incorrect also.
Well, that is
and
true,
so
too.
And so that gets frustrating also. And we've had so many people in the clinic recently. It seems like in the past, 6 to 8 months, we've just been flooded with. And I think really that goes with what we're seeing nationally with the rate of infertility rising dramatically.
Yeah,
more and more people are having trouble getting pregnant.
Exactly. And everybody's sitting there throwing their hands up and saying, oh, I don't know why. Well, we have some pretty good ideas. And we'll get to those.
Right. Let's jump in.
That's a teaser, right?
Yep.
A teaser. Okay. So if you're out there listening and if you're thinking about having a baby, have been on this long journey, this long road that people go through if they're trying to do IVF or in vitro fertilization, and they're doing the fertility treatments to do that, or if they've failed IVF, if you've had multiple miscarriages, tons and tons of people have had many, many miscarriages. It's extremely important to know that what you have to do is you've got to provide, ladies, this is for you. You've got to provide the eggs with very specific nutrients that are needed to help support the embryo's development, the egg health overall. I mean, you got to avoid toxins. There are
right.
a lot of things that have to be done to just get yourself and that little egg as healthy as possible.
And really, that's what we're going to be focusing on in this show is just kind of the beginning. What do women need to do to make sure that your eggs are as healthy as possible to get you to the point where you can get pregnant? And this is a part that we have found is not generally addressed by most doctors. It's pretty much, we take the eggs, even if you're going through fertility treatments, well, we take the eggs that you have and we do our best to try to get you pregnant. But nobody talks about the fact that it's the quality of the women's eggs that makes a huge difference in whether you're able to get pregnant and stay pregnant.
Right. And if doctors recommend any kind of vitamins, they wait until after you're already pregnant. Well, pre-planning is a huge thing. This could take months, maybe even a year, to get your body really the healthiest that it can be. It takes planning and time. You don't just say, oh, well, I'm having trouble getting pregnant. I'm just going to try a different way. I'm going to throw more medication at it. I'm going to do this. You really have to work on getting that egg as healthy as you possibly can. And it's true. You can improve the status and the health status of that egg.
Right. And I mean, conventional thinking is that women are born with all of the eggs they'll ever have. And the quality of those eggs declines drastically with age, right?
Right.
We've all heard that, especially anyone who is wanting to get pregnant over the age of 35, it's kind of just that part is hammered on and that it's true, but it's not the whole story.
Right.
There's a big
piece missing. It's not like these eggs just they just start losing health as you age. Your eggs don't really do that. What researchers have actually figured out is these eggs actually spend most of their lives until they're ready to be expelled. they live in this like suspended state of animation. They're just kind of hanging out as an immature cell. And about 3 to 4 months before those eggs are released, they go through this massive transformation. A lot of stuff takes place. And if we don't have enough nutrients there, you don't get this quality of change. You get a less quality egg. I mean, this thing grows in size. It produces more energy in and of itself. The number of mitochondria becomes super active, and we get a lot more of these things. And, you know, if you've listened to our show before, you've heard us talk about mitochondria. These are these things inside the cells of our body that help us make energy. And so we increase production of that. Then the egg has to go through this whole process of, you know, of separating and kicking out different copies of our chromosomes. Like, it pulls these things apart, breaks them down. And you guys know what our chromosomes are. That's our DNA. It looks like a ladder that's been twisted up. It's a double helix. And we basically untwist that and separate it and then put it all back together and kick out the unneeded parts and unwanted parts. If that process doesn't work right and it goes wrong, the egg itself is going to have chromosomal abnormalities. That's going to lead to chromosomal abnormalities in the baby, and ultimately can lead to miscarriages. Your high rates of miscarriages are because the egg itself and the embryo ends up being chromosomally abnormal.
Right, and miscarriages if you actually get pregnant, because you have a higher rate of not getting pregnant at all. And this is a huge reason why people who are going through fertility treatments have failed fertility treatments.
Correct.
Is because of these chromosomal abnormalities. And they fix that somewhat with pregenetic testing. But, you know, it makes a lot more sense in our minds to actually focus on getting the best quality eggs that you can. So then you have less chance of having the chromosomal abnormalities.
Right.
And that's something that is not really talked about and is really frustrating to both of us, is that nobody really addresses the fact that there are things you can do to change this. The fact that the eggs are in this, you know, suspended state for most of your life and they don't really start changing to the last 3 or 4 months before ovulation gives us a great opportunity, because that means that those 3 to 4 months before you are trying to get pregnant are crucial. And to some extent, I mean, once you know what you want to, you know, what you need to do to improve the quality, it should give you a lot of hope, because it's not like you need to undo, you know, a lifetime of bad choices. You've
right.
got 3 to 4 months to really hit it hard and change a lot of the, you know, change the quality of your eggs.
Well, that's yes and no. Actually, it takes longer than that, because there's 3 to 4 months of that egg maturing, but you've got to have the supplies and the raw materials in your body long before that to be ready for that change. And that's one of the things that's really frustrating, is a lot of women are just told there's really not a lot you can do to improve egg quality. That's just the common information that's out there. Well, sorry, I mean, your eggs are your eggs. I mean, they run a blood test to guesstimate egg quality, and if it comes back low, well, you got to poor egg quality.
Well, and let's
that's
face it,
crap.
You don't even have, nobody discusses egg quality until you already are dealing with infertility and you
right.
see a fertility doctor. Before
right.
that, it's not ever even discussed.
Right.
So you would have no idea. And we get so many women who are in our office and they're saying, you know, I'm wanting to get pregnant, or I am getting married. I want to have kids in the next couple of years. What can I do? And they're amazed that we're able to actually walk them through, okay, here are the things you need to start thinking about. And it's great that women are starting to think about that earlier. And I think part of that is because so many of us have been affected by infertility and have seen, you know, those around us who have dealt with infertility. So, you know, we are starting to think about it earlier and say, okay, what can I do to actually make a difference? But they're not able to find answers anywhere, and that's really what we want to try to do.
Right, exactly. So what's really important is this whole ovulation. So we'll talk about ovulation for just a second. So for those guys out there who are listening who have no idea what in the world we're talking about here, this is kind of important. This will just kind of catch you up to speed. So women's cycles start with menstruation. Day one of menstruation is the start of a female cycle. And then she will menstruate for however many days that is for her. Is somewhere between 3 and 7 or 8 is about the maximum we've seen in our office. And others can be more if things are off. But then after that, at around day 14, 15, 16-ish, that's when ovulation occurs. So that's when the ovary kicks out or expels an egg. And that egg increases in size during this time. The hormones happen. There's follicle-stimulating hormone that happens. And then luteinizing hormone is what actually causes that little follicle to release that egg. That egg is really, in the 3 months before, 3 to 4 months before it's ovulated, it's growing in size, it's getting ready, it's becoming active, it's really changing, and it's doing these things based on the nutritional status of the female in question. That's what it's doing. It's growing and releasing, and so that's what happens. And then if implant or fertilization happens and implantation takes place, then this hormone called progesterone really takes off and goes through the roof, and that's what sustains a pregnancy. And if not, then everything settles back down to normal, and a couple of weeks after ovulation, the whole cycle starts over again. That's really what's going on out there for those of you guys out there listening that are like, I don't really know what this is. There's your basics in a female cycle. And what we're really talking about here is that things that can be done to improve this egg quality, both negatively and positively. And we're going to focus on the things that you really want to do to decrease the negative impact and all the things that you can do to improve with positive impact on that egg quality. You know, things that negatively can impact egg quality would be this toxin called BPA. BPA phthalates are another one.
Yeah, I know we're going to get into that, you know, in depth in a little bit, but do you want to give kind of just an overview
of what BPA is? I can. So BPA is a toxin, bisphenol A. It's a toxin that's been removed from a lot of plastics. You find this stuff in plastics. And so if you go like to a baby store like Babies R Us or Bye Bye Baby or something like that, and you look at like baby toys or baby things like bottles and all this stuff, it says
right.
All of them
cups
on there say,
again.
Yeah, cups, yeah. Everything says BPA free. Well, they know that it's a toxin for a kid. Well, if it's a toxin for a kid, how in the world is it not a toxin for the mom getting ready to have a kid? That's what I don't understand. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this. We're going to talk about toxins whenever we come back, and we're going to keep going through the fertility and infertility. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning in to the show today, we are talking about fertility and infertility. This is a topic that we've been asked to do some shows on. We get quite a few people that are asking us to help at the clinic, help them with their infertility issues.
Right. Well, and what's funny is that it's from a lot of the people. I mean, the big push has been from couples who have been in our clinic and we've actually helped, who have
right.
said, you've got to do a show on this.
Right.
Like, you've got to get this information
can
out
you,
there.
Can you please tell all my friends?
Right. Why did I not know this years ago? I mean,
right.
And I think that gets so frustrating. And so we've really been planning on doing this for a long time. And it's important not just for people who are actively trying to get pregnant, but also those who, you know, ever want to have kids or, you know, you have a loved one. You know, I mean, a lot of parents, you know, we've talked to a lot of parents who are like, I'm going to send my daughter in here, like, because
right.
I, you know, she needs to know this stuff. And so it's an important lesson, I think, for everyone.
Right.
So we're just kind of going over what you can do to try to make the fertility process
over the course early. Of the next, like, how many shows? 10, 12, 14?
We'll see. It's not going to be that long.
We've
tried to pare this down. Like I said, it's a lot of information.
There is a lot that goes on in having a baby. And for those of you people out there who have children, you know, and for the people that have infertility issues, you know that is a monster in and of itself, too.
Right. Well, and what I think, I mean, you know, with what you just said, what I think is funny is that I think people who haven't struggled with infertility don't really realize what all goes into it because they
yeah.
never had to know.
That's true.
I mean, you
That's
find
true.
A woman who has dealt with infertility and they're going to know way more about the process
right.
than somebody who easily had 4 or 5 kids.
Yeah, who just said, oh, well, one day, you know what, I think I'm going to get pregnant next
right.
month. And it worked.
And, you know, and good for them. Ignorance
yeah.
is bliss. I mean,
yeah.
if you are able to just have healthy kids, then you know, you didn't have to worry about it, and that
right.
is great. More power to you, but not
right.
everyone is that lucky.
Exactly. So before the break, we were just talking about things that we're going to be focusing on later in the show, things like toxins, BPA, and phthalates and things like that. We're also going to be talking about the protective effects of certain substances, things like antioxidants, and like how important these things are and why there is such a brief window of opportunity that you can make such a big difference in egg qualities to improve your chances for IVF success or just getting pregnant in general, just improving your fertility chances.
Right. And it's because a lot of people who come in and are, you know, who have said, can you get me ready? I'm going to start IVF. And, you know, we've convinced them to push it off, you know, for a few months, like give us a little bit of time.
Right.
And we've had a lot of people who ended up not needing fertility treatments. Now, not everyone is so lucky. And that's certainly not a guarantee because, you know, you never know what's going on, you know, entirely with someone. And so, and I will tell you that personally, and TJ knows this, I get really frustrated because I've heard doctors say, specifically, you know, recently I heard a chiropractor say, you know, well, my wife was told that she couldn't get pregnant and I fixed that really quick. And I just want to scream because, first of all, most doctors never tell a woman she can't get pregnant. You have to have something significantly wrong with you for you to be told that you aren't able to have kids. Because generally, doctors say, nope, there's no reason why you can't have kids. And so women will just keep going through fertility treatments and they'll keep failing without ever having any sort of answer. But if you get to the point where you have something significantly wrong, where a doctor would actually say you can't have kids, an adjustment isn't going to fix that. So I'm not, you know, I'm a huge fan of chiropractic adjustments. I am a huge believer, but that is misinformation. It's ignorant and it's harmful.
Right.
So
beware.
Yeah. That was my soapbox.
Yeah. She got
one of many probably from the show.
This is just the first one. We might have a soapbox counter. If we live stream this, I think we would figure out a way to put a graphic up that says, oh, this is Aaron's soapbox counter one. All right. So basically what we're going to do with this show is we're going to kind of guide you through some very specific strategies that have a lot of support in and scientific evidence behind them. This is stuff that's not just based on, you know, some little silly isolated animal study that gives some sort of insight into a cause or solution for poor egg quality. You know, that we all know that stuff just is kind of silly. There are individual studies, a lot of animal studies and test tube studies. They provide very limited evidence, and that sort of stuff needs to be taken, you know, kind of with a grain of salt, for lack of a better term. What we're doing with this show is we're taking this information and basing it on very comprehensive analysis of large bodies of medical research that have involved lots of studies that have been confirmed by a lot of different groups, medical groups, that involve real patients, like real people's success story. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that if you are successful with IVF, doctors will come to you, or not necessarily doctors, but people will come to you and ask you to sign up for research studies where they will call you and track what's going on with your child and what happened. Were there any kinds of, you know, health problems that your child suffered through? Were they, you know, relatively healthy, et cetera, et cetera? There are a lot of people that are going to come and ask this of you. And I don't think people that don't do IVF realize the amount of tracking that goes on. They will track your kid until they're six for certain. And a lot of them want to track all the way through until adulthood.
Well, and I think, you know, that's one of the really, you know, if there is one benefit to the fact that the rate of infertility is increasing, it's the fact that we've got really good information about what works.
Right.
I mean, the bad thing is that the information is not necessarily getting out. And that's what we really try to do on the show is, okay, let's look at the studies. Let's, you know, actually analyze what we see going on and provide that information to all of you out there.
Let's analyze. She looked at me. That's TJ analyze is what that boils down to.
I've read a lot of it. I mean,
it was a lot of reading. Hey, TJ, what does this mean?
Well, if you can explain it to me, you can explain it to everyone else.
That's exactly true.
I mean, but, you know, I think it being buried in a study somewhere doesn't do us any good.
Right.
And what's crazy is that a lot of doctors don't even know the information. You know, right. They'll hear it secondhand,
right.
But they don't have the time. You know, they're not taking the time to read this
and
stuff.
And there are reasons for that, too. Research studies, it takes so many research studies and so much time to do this from start to finish on a lot of these research studies. I mean, think about this. If they're tracking a kid for 6 years, you've got 6 years of research before they even start the publication process. Then you've got a year or more, maybe two or three, of publication process before the stuff ends up in print. So the information that they gained, you know, 6 to 8 years ago is finally printed. And then that stuff has to be in print. There has to be a lot of that stuff that's similar that can be reproduced that will finally end up in a textbook somewhere, you know, 6, 8, 10 years down the road from that point. So by the time something is in a textbook, it's completely outdated. If you're relying on textbook information to, you know, solve some of these, you know, much more recent problems, you're doing yourself a disservice, and your doctor is doing yourself a disservice if that's what they're doing, is relying on a textbook to tell them what's going on. If they're not pulling out research articles saying, look, this is the latest research shows, they're behind in the times.
Right. But I think also, you know, part of this is that whether you're going to an OBGYN or eventually to a fertility specialist, you have to know that they all have their specific, you know, things.
Protocols.
That, yeah, and that what they're focusing on.
Right.
Because, and no one, unfortunately, no one's, you know, exact aim is at egg quality,
mm-hmm.
even though we know that it makes a huge difference. I mean, OBGYN, they're great, especially after, you know, you get pregnant and
right.
making sure your pregnancy is healthy and delivering a healthy baby. Fertility doctors are great at, you know, taking whatever eggs you have and trying to turn that into an actual pregnancy, a sustainable pregnancy.
Increasing your percentages of having a sustained pregnancy.
Right. But nobody focuses on egg quality. And so I think, and if you have issues that make it look like the fertility process may not work as well, you'll be sent to an endocrinologist. They're not focusing on egg quality either. And
right.
so I think that's where it's not that anyone isn't doing their job. It's just that no one's job involves this. And
that's
what we see as a huge hole because it makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, it is. And it is a massive hole. It's a chasm between, you know, between specialties and what really needs to happen.
Right. Well, and given the, you know, what we've seen is the increase in infertility and all of the other, you know, there are so many other chronic issues that we see increasing in the population.
Right.
This is something that has to be addressed. And a lot of the things that we're going to talk about as far as, you know, specific supplements and, you know, what you need to be bringing into your life and out of your life to make this all run more smoothly are things that aren't that difficult. It's just that the information isn't out there. And that's really what we're going to try to do in like 4 shows.
Four. She's whittled it down to 4. I'm still voting for 12. The whole first quarter, end of 2017, first quarter of next year is going to be dedicated to this.
And we're going to spend an entire pregnancy talking about infertility.
Yeah, it's an entire pregnancy. We'll tell you what's going on in week 2 and week 4 and week 8 and so on.
But we're not even to the pregnancy yet.
Yeah.
We're still in the beginning stages.
We're still in the pre-planning stages. So, all right, we've got to take another break. When we come back, We're just going to tell an interesting little story. So stick around for this little interesting story. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Today we have been talking about fertility and infertility. And if you've missed part of the show, well, you'll just have to go back and catch it on SoundCloud or podcast because it's been pretty interesting. We've been talking about prepping you, basically.
Right. I was going to say, we haven't really gotten into the meat of this yet, just kind of explaining where we're going.
Exactly. We've been prepping you to talk about where we're going to go.
Right. And why it's important.
Yes. It's extremely important. So for those of you who have caught the first half of the show, you understand that. And for those of you who haven't, well, you have to go back and catch the beginning of the show.
Or you can just take our word for it. It's really important.
It's amazing and important. Yes. Take our word. All right. So when we left for the break, I said that when we came back, we were just going to tell a little story. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to tell a story. You want to tell the story?
I mean, kind of why we got so interested in egg quality and what goes back into this.
I'm going to sit back and relax here, ladies and gentlemen. Go, Erin, go.
Thanks for that.
If you should have seen her face, she's like, oh, gosh, here we go.
Luckily, they can't. we really became kind of obsessed with the science of egg quality out of necessitation. We've struggled with infertility, and it's been years that we went through it. And we, you know, started the same way that so many people do, where you are like, okay, why am I not getting pregnant when it seems like, you know, when you're trying to get pregnant, it seems like everyone around you is pregnant and easily pregnant.
And everyone tells you, and they say, oh, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. And everywhere you
As
look.
As they should. I mean, they're excited about that.
Well, gosh dang, why not us?
So we went through the same process after, and I will say when we first started out with this, I had just found out that I had 3 autoimmune conditions. And so we knew we went through a process of getting me to a point where I was healthy. And so things were kind of slowed down there. Eventually, we did see a fertility doctor. It was first recommended that we try IUIs.
That stands for intrauterine insemination. So when they inseminate you themselves.
Right. Has a low success rate, but it's much cheaper. Did not work for us. And we eventually went on to another doctor and to move on to IVF. And that's why I want to say that, you know, I get frustrated when there are doctors out there who say that it's, you know, well, come in and I'll just fix your problems with infertility. That happens in our clinic all the time. But going through this personally, we can say that isn't a given. I mean, I've had multiple surgeries. I mean, we've had numerous things to try to avoid IVF, and I'm not against IVF at all. But I mean, it's not ideal, but for a lot of people, it's the only way. And there's no problem with that. But IVF also isn't a given. And I think that's why we're really, you know, we got to the point where we were focusing on egg quality, because the first time we went through it, we had no embryos that were normal. And so it really made us take a step back and say, okay, because we did think we were doing everything to keep me healthy. And it made us kind of regroup and say, all right, you know, what are we going to do here?
Right.
And
well, when you go through IVF, the doctors, they talk to you a lot about, you know, getting enough eggs throughout the process, and then making sure that that produces enough embryos, and then, you know, will those embryos be healthy enough to transfer, and so on and so forth. So it's just questions. It ends up being a little bit intimidating and kind of scary. And I mean, I understand the process and what in the world's going on, and I was a little nervous about it. And so I can't imagine what a person without, you know, the level of medical understanding that I have, how I can't imagine how scared you would be. It baffles me that how you're talked to about it, and like you're just left walking out a lot of times with way more questions than when you went in with, and then you're like, well, what, I mean, are we doing the right thing? What's
but
going
all you
on?
Can do you is know? Trust, and I think that's really where, you know, our first time going through IVF, especially, we were just, you know, I mean, we have a lot of knowledge about health, not about fertility treatments.
Right.
And so you go in and you trust the doctor knows what they're doing. And we did have
we know a lot now.
We've learned a lot. But, you know, one of the things that we were told was that the autoimmune conditions would not have any bearing on my ability to get pregnant.
I literally sat there and went, seriously?
But again, there was no, at that time, we had nothing.
I had no basis to argue against other than,
okay, well, trust.
Yeah, my intuition saying, really?
It didn't really seem to make sense. But at the same time, you know, if the doctor is telling you, like, we don't do anything for that, which we'll get into, because eventually we found out that's not necessarily true either. We found a lot of the things that, you know, I mean, but when you first go in, they just assume things are going to be fine. Now, the one issue we did have that the doctor addressed was that my TSH was higher than what they wanted it to be. Now, I've talked about this before, that I have Hashimoto's. We know that I, you know, and my TSH was so much lower than what it normally was. We'd gotten it down really low. But, you know, but the doctor said, we need to put you on levothyroxine because that will drive the TSH down. And, you know, it'll be a short term thing. We'll just do this to get you pregnant, basically. And then, you know, you can worry about it afterwards as far as fixing it. And basically that's what, you know, TJ said, okay, well, we'll fix it afterwards. But if it needs to be, you know, we need this to drive it down, because we do know that levothyroxine does drive down TSH. Our whole issue with thyroid that we've talked about on here before is that TSH is not the only thing that you need to be looking at.
Right.
That's not the best indicator of thyroid health. But I did go on levothyroxine, and I know I've talked on here before a lot about thyroid issues. And one of the things that I have brought up is, you know, why I didn't do well on levothyroxine. I always wondered, you know, are people listening wondering why was I ever on it? Because, you know, I mean, I found out that, you know, TJ is the one who discovered that I had this thyroid problem. Why would I have gone on levothyroxine? And that's why, is because I saw this fertility doctor who said, this is what you need, you know, and we were willing to take the hit of, you know, going on something that was not going to be great for thyroid health in the short term in order to hopefully have a healthy pregnancy. So we did go on levothyroxine. I felt horrible. But
terrible.
I mean,
completely terrible. Just awful.
But, I mean, you know, fine. And also then, you know, going through the whole process of the shots, you're not feeling the best anyway. So it is what it is. After the first failed attempt, and, you know, it was a huge fail. We got no good embryos. It was an epic fail. You know, we were told, yeah, maybe this isn't going to work. You do have these issues. And we really, that's when we really started diving into, okay, what can we do? We were told, you know, you might want to look into surrogacy. Of course, you know, surrogacy in itself doesn't even, I mean, won't make a difference unless you have embryos. I mean, unless you're, you know, getting embryos.
Right.
So we...
Not to mention it's expensive too.
We looked into that. Yeah. Ooh. That's a lot of money.
Costs a lot of money to pay somebody else to carry a baby.
Right.
I can't tell you how much they want to charge for that.
So, well, I mean, so we decided.
But thank you to the ladies out there that do that for people who can do that.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, definitely.
I mean, that's amazing.
Best, yeah, most amazing gift you can give somebody. But we decided, okay, you know what? We're going to do this one more time, but we're going to do it our way. And we're going to actually look into this, and we're not trusting anymore.
I needed a little Frank Sinatra cued my way right there. Dang it. Sorry, Liz, I forgot to tell you. I needed some my way on this. Some of you out there have no idea what I'm talking about. It's a song Frank Sinatra performed a long time ago, probably before you were born, called My Way. It's wonderful. Check it out.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
What is that? Who? My Way, Frank Sinatra. Who's that?
Like I said before, I would sing it, but nobody wants to hear it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So anyway, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
So, well, yeah, you just kind of left me out here.
I did.
This,
I just kind of threw
Thanks
you out.
For your help with this.
Now you know how I feel some days.
Yeah.
When I go off on rants. Yeah, she's right. I mean, you know, the whole thing, the whole first process, being basically assured that everything will be okay, everything will work out. And then when it doesn't.
And really doesn't.
And yeah, and fails miserably. And you're just left there going, huh. I mean, we went through that once. I mean, there are people that call us, talk to us, come to us. We've done this 4, 5, 6, 7 times.
And IVF is expensive.
I can't imagine.
It is. I mean, you know, unless you're lucky enough to be in one of the states where it's covered. And even then, you get generally three tries. And I think people don't realize, they think, okay, well, if I have to, I'll do IVF. IVF is not a given if you do not have what you need to sustain a healthy pregnancy.
Right.
You know, that's not a guarantee. And a lot of people find that out the hard way.
Right.
Or they show up in our clinic after two failed attempts and they're like, uh-oh, I better do something. I've got one chance left.
Right.
And that's scary. But
so, I don't mean to cut you off, but you know, one of the big things with having that, you know, utter level of failure, came this whole like, well, you know, is the illnesses that Aaron had, has that done enough damage to our body where we basically we don't have a shot at this? You know, what is going on?
Right. And, we knew we had fixed me now, but right. I mean, how do you know what it, you know, I mean, the damage, what damage had already been done?
Right. And I mean, if you've been to our clinic or listened to the show before, we talk about the three pieces of health, the three sides of the triangle of chemical health, structural health, and spiritual and emotional health. Boy, when you start questioning that sort of stuff, the emotional side takes a big hit, and it's intense. It's intense. So, I mean, for those of you out there who have failed, we get it. We know what that's like.
But I think, you know, certainly the way I address things, and I think, you know, we worked together on this, was instead of, you know, I mean, I'm like, if we're going to, first of all, if we're going to do this one more time, I'm going to know what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Right.
And second of all, I'm not going down without a fight. So, that's like, right. I'm figuring out exactly what can possibly make a difference. And I'm not trusting anyone to say that doesn't matter or that won't change things unless I have scientific research to tell me that it won't make a difference. So that is kind of where we started at. And there's no better researcher than a woman who wants to get pregnant,
that's
right?
Exactly right. I couldn't have said it better myself.
So this is all kind of what we have discovered. But I know we need to take a break, so we will get back to this.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go on with the story. I highly doubt that we actually will finish this total story today. So that'll be a nice teaser for next week. And there's no way you're going to get through this whole story of how we got back on the track and in another segment. No way. It's not going to happen. Anyway, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back, everyone. If you've not been tuning in until now, you've missed a really good show. And last segment, we spent the whole segment telling the very beginning of a story. And we're talking about fertility and infertility. And last segment, we were talking about Aaron's story of going through fertility treatments. So do you want to get back in that and walk people back into kind of where you were and what you were talking about?
Well, I just said, you know, that we decided if we were going to go through IVF one more time, we're going to give it one more shot, and we were really going to dive into what the research told us and what we needed to do. We're going to do this from a functional medicine perspective.
Enter TJ. Yay. So for those of you who don't know me, or you may be listening to this podcast for the very first time, or radio show for the very first time, I'm a bit of a super nerd. I enjoy researching and reading and diving into, and actually I'm not afraid to call an author of a paper and ask them questions and really get down to the nitty-gritty. So,
which is funny, because you would be amazed at the number of people that he has met through this process that he has called that, you know, deal with, you know, autoimmune conditions in pregnancy, or, you know, authors of books. And there have just been so many people that are able, because he'll talk to them about things and they're like, oh, wait, oh, like, he gets what I'm doing here.
I had a lady the other day call the office, and for whatever reason, I answered the phone. It was just one of those crazy days, and I answered the phone because I do that at my clinic. And the lady was trying to sell something, and I'm like, ma'am, I'm sorry, that doesn't really apply to our clinic. That's not what we do. And she's like, well, okay, well, I'm intrigued by your name. What do you do? And I kind of explained it to her, literally 10-minute conversation of, oh my gosh, my daughter has these things. Is there something that you can do to help? I'm like, yeah, there is. And she's like, okay, well, I'm gonna set up an appointment for her. The lady was in Florida, and she set up an appointment for her daughter right there. I mean, this is the sort of stuff that happens.
Well, and I was thinking of the doctor in California when we were looking at, you know, shots to, like, you know, possibly shut down the immune system, which he ended up not going through.
Right.
But, you know, TJ called and said, you know, I'm curious about this. And talking to the lady who answered the phone, she's like, oh, the author of this book is going to want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And so he actually spoke to him. And I remember we got
multiple
back.
Times. We have email correspondence. And
when we got back and explained this to our fertility doctor, she's like, well, how did you find out this information? He's like, well, I talked to him.
I talked to the guy.
Are you kidding me? And I'm just, it's kind of funny how that happens.
I'm not afraid to say hi. It's just true.
It's how you learn.
That's exactly how you learn. You got to put yourself out there. Got to get in proximity. For those of you who don't know me, I've got a lot of degrees on the wall. I enjoy school. And so during all this, I kind of learned how to cipher through relatively massive amounts of research articles in a fairly short period of time and put together stuff that really matters. And so I'm one of these rare people whose college degree from freshman year all the way through my PhD and beyond, my degree was always in the same thing. It was always human body related, which is kind of unheard of, but I really got into it. And I mean, I've studied mechanisms of how the DNA in our body, how it gets damaged, how it can repair itself, how it cannot repair itself sometimes, the process of how we produce energy inside the cells, and how all of this stuff relates to the nutrition that we consume, the vitamins, the minerals, the proteins, the antioxidants, all of this stuff, how it all melds together. And so I'd even gotten into a little bit before this about, you know, chromosomes in an egg and why an egg has the ability to produce so much more energy, and how they, you know, separate the chromosomes and then put them all back together and all this stuff that takes place. So as I got deeper and deeper into this, all the pieces I'd kind of learned, like little bits and pieces over the years, kind of started to take on a life of their own, and this form that kind of revealed to me a path. It's like all of a sudden I wasn't just standing at the edge of a forest looking at a bunch of trees. I was actually looking at a pathway to get through those trees to the other side and get answers and figure out, you know, how we can get over there. And so
to cut you off.
That's all right.
But I think the frustrating thing, you know, I mean, I'm kind of doing this, you know, to some extent along with them, because he would be like, look what I found this out. And I would say, well, why does that, you know, why is that important? And where did you find that? And what, you know, like, and we would talk about these things, and it became more and more frustrating to us, like so many of the issues I've discussed on here. And I really feel like, you know, as frustrating as all of this is, there's a reason why we go through all of this, because it's made us much more knowledgeable about everything and much more empathetic for what people are going through. But we really started getting, frustrated about the fact that this information isn't out there and that it was that difficult to find it.
Right.
Because, I mean...
Oh, I was in the bowels of some research.
Right.
I was down in some depths.
And that's from somebody who loves reading research, and he would have never found it if we hadn't actually gone through the situation. So how is the average person supposed to ever figure this out?
And I got turned on to some stuff because I just happened to call the right people. And they're like, oh, yeah, you need to get this and get this and do this and get
right.
this over here and grab that. And in fact, I'll mail you these things. And sure enough, 4 days later in the mail, here they come.
Right. I mean, yeah, we were getting a lot of stuff there for a while. I mean, but that's what's so amazing. It's because I think that so many of the people who have really been at the forefront of this and saying, you know, hey, there are things you can do to improve egg quality. There are reasons why people are dealing with infertility that aren't being addressed. They want to get the information out there just like we do. I mean, there's a reason why we do this. And, you know, talking to these like-minded doctors has been really beneficial.
Yeah, it's funny. We were just talking about that today. Earlier, we were just talking about how, you know, sometimes you just get the right person and they just want to give you this information because, you know, it's this whole mentality of we got to get as many people to know about this stuff because it takes so long for everyone to see it. And then even, I mean, if you just look at the internet, you get a video that goes viral and it's had 100 million views. Well, it might have had 100 million views by 6 million people, right? It's all these views don't really equate that many people saw it, because somebody's going to be like, hey, look, watch this video. I saw it. And they're watching it for the second or third time when they're showing their friend. And that's just how this stuff goes through, unfortunately. And they're just there's just ways that we've got to, you know, get this information out there. So we just started sharing as much of this information as we can. And so I started diving into this and looking into, you know, what we need to do. And we started implementing things, I would say slowly, but it really wasn't slowly. We were implementing stuff.
No, it's really everything. As soon as we found it out, I'm like, all right, I'm going to do that now.
Yeah. And we started doing all this stuff. So that's about all the time for today. I know this is a kind of a weird place to stop, but that's what we've got as far as time goes. When we come back next week, we are going to continue on with the story a little bit and then really try to get into more of this information.
If you're looking for
us, if you're looking for us, go to our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Call us, 314-293-8123. I'm Dr. TJ. For Aaron, this has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.